The following is a special announcement for listeners of the Where is God's Word program with Bruce Musselman. On the morning of May 15th, Brother Bruce Musselman went home to be with the Lord following a short illness. His last new radio program aired just 8 days before his passing. Please join me in praying for the Musselman family and Bruce's friends and colleagues. For now and the next couple of months, we will be airing classic Bruce Musselman programs from our archives. We trust you will be edified and encouraged by these vintage programs. Now, let's join this week's edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, greetings. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Another day closer to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back to this earth. And so he has all things in his hands, all things in his power. And we used to sing the song, he's got the whole wide world in his hand. Jesus asked a question to his followers when he was on the earth. And by the way, it was 2,012 years ago that Jesus was born. And so we know about the time, and then it was in the town of Bethlehem. And when Jesus was 30 years old, he started his ministry, and he demonstrated that he was God by the fact that he had total power over everything. Hundreds of thousands of Israelis and also Gentiles saw the Lord Jesus Christ do these incredible miracles. And at his trial, no one ever denied it because it was impossible to deny. But Jesus said to his followers one day, and this is found in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, and why call ye me Lord and do not the things which I say? I want to repeat that again. Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord and do not the things which I say? I want to talk about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He asked that question, and it demonstrates and it gives the definition of it. For if he is Lord, then he has the right to tell us what to do. That means he's the boss. He has the authority because he is God. And Lord recognizes that authority. I was in a meeting one time, and an old pastor or evangelist named B.R. Lakin was preaching a message. And he said, Jesus is Lord, and he was preaching on that subject. And he says, if you're a Christian, I want you to stand up and say, Jesus is my Lord. And so the people in the church one by one stood up and said, Jesus is my Lord. And that is what salvation is all about. You accept Jesus as your Lord, but you accept him for his whole person, Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus means Savior. And by the way, the word Jesus is Jehovah is Savior. That's the meaning of the word. Jesus is Jehovah God. And Christ refers to the fact that he will come and reign from Jerusalem, Israel, over this whole planet. So to believe on him as Lord Jesus Christ, that's who he is. That is, you accept him as your Lord and your Savior and trust in him in this particular way. And it's very important that we understand this when we come to be a Christian and accept Jesus. Paul says in the Bible, there, beware lest someone preach another Jesus than what we have preached unto you. And today the word Jesus is known and Jesus Christ is known. And I notice a lot of times people say Jesus Christ. The apostles in the New Testament, they always called him the Lord or the Lord Jesus, and recognizing his ability and his authority as to who he is. And so we ought to call him the Lord Jesus. And you know, there's something that is uncanny about that word, something unusual when you say that word, but it gives him authority and recognition. And it means he's the authority. As our Creator God, he has the right to tell us what to do, and we have the right to recognize that authority and go by that authority. Now, in Romans chapter 10, in verse 9 and 10, Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And that means saved from God's wrath, saved from God's judgment for your sin, because Jesus died on the cross and was punished for all of your sin. so that you don't have to be punished for it. And he said, believe with your heart. Sometimes people say a prayer, but there's no heart belief there. I mean, there's no real desire to have Christ in their life. And they have never recognized that they are a sinner and that they have sinned against God. You know, if you've ever told a lie, what's that make you? A liar. If you ever stolen, that makes you a thief. If you ever have hated somebody, God says that's equal to murder. And all of us have sinned and come short of God's standard, come short of the glory of God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need a Savior, and Jesus died and paid for our sin. But we accept him as Lord. And you see, when Paul got saved, he saw the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus. And when he saw him, he said to him, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, the what wilt thou have me to do defines who the Lord is and what the Lord is. And I believe some people, they have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and they continue to live a sinful life and continue to do whatever they please. But when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you do and you try to do what he pleases, not what you please. And he is Lord through his word, the Bible. Now, in the New Testament times, when the church first began in the first and second centuries, the Caesar in Rome would make everybody in the Roman Empire come before a judge, pour some incense on a fire and say, Caesar is Lord, or Caesar is my Lord. And by doing that, they were recognizing that he had the authority over their life. And Christians absolutely would not do that. And so some Christians would come before the judge, and the judge was ordered to warn them three times that they must say Caesar is Lord. And if they did not say it, after a warning of three times, they were taken to the Colosseum and made a guest appearance at the 30-yard line and were ripped up by the animals. Or they sometimes men and women were beaten to death right on the spot. But many hundreds and even thousands of Christians died because they would not say Caesar is my Lord. They said Jesus is my Lord. And so it's very important to understand this. And they were martyred for their confession of faith in Christ. Now, in John and Romans, the mention of Jesus being Savior is a few times, but the fact that they call him Lord was mentioned 44 times in the Gospel of John and 44 times in the book of Romans. It mentions the Lord. You know, the salvation verses, most of them that you read are connected with that particular word. And let's give an example. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord. That's part of salvation. In the book of Acts, in chapter 20, Paul described his ministry, and he says, he remember how I taught you publicly and from house to house, repentance toward God. And repentance means there's a turn from you being Lord of your life, a turn from your sin, to a turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I taught you repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. You trust him to be the Lord. You trust him to be in charge of your life. You see, the source of all joy and peace is Jesus. But to get this, you need to accept him in the proper, in the right way. You accept him as Lord and Savior in your life. And there's so many verses teaching that particular thing in the Word of God. You find in chapter 20, after Jesus rose from the dead, and Thomas is saying, well, lest I put my hands in his side and touch the nail prints in his hands, I will not believe. And so one day, Thomas is gathered together with the apostles, and Jesus shows up. And after Jesus bodily rose from the dead, he stayed on the earth or appeared to his followers 40 days after that, before he went back to heaven. And so Thomas was with them, and Jesus said, touch me and handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones. And so Thomas looks at Jesus, recognizes him, and he says, my Lord and my God. You see, it's not just enough for your salvation to know that Jesus is Lord and God, or to even believe that, but it's when you say, my Lord. It's not good enough if it's your mother's Lord or your father's Lord or your relative's Lord, your friend's Lord, but it's when you receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my God. And some people, I've heard even preachers say, well, that was a heresy, you know, lordship, salvation. And what I mean by this is a recognition of Jesus' right to control and be over your life. And Jesus didn't say that's a heresy. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. Believing in Jesus Christ means to accept him as your Lord and your Savior. And the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's not work salvation. It is a recognition, a confession that Jesus is your Lord, and it must be done from your heart, that you mean this with all your heart, that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You look at another passage, for instance, the dying thief, and there's two thieves. One's mocking Jesus, and then the other one looks at Jesus, and he says, this man hasn't done anything wrong. You see, Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus was God. And the thief said to Jesus on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, I look at that thief, and if he was saved by saying that from his heart, I believe that anybody can be saved. You know, Paul says that he accepted Christ, and he accepted him as Lord and Savior, and he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Why? Why did he say he was the chief sinner? Because Paul had tortured Christians to make them blaspheme against Christ. He had murdered, been responsible for the murder of Christians. And so he said, I am chief, but God saved me. No matter what you have done, if you're willing to turn from sin, that's called repentance, and trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. You know, when a person repents, they turn from their sin. They turn to a new life. And, you know, John the Baptist said this. He said, repent and do works meet for repentance. You're not saved by works, but if you have repented and taken Christ as Lord, then the works follow. You see, Paul said the exact same thing. He says, repent and do works meet for repentance. And so you turn from sin. And today, people are believing about Jesus, but there's no repentance in their heart. There's no turning. There's no recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, we'll take a break, and then we'll be back.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
If you'd like to contact us, you just remember what the announcer says, and you can contact us in that way. I'm always glad to talk to folks, and we're always happy to hear from people that are listening to the program. And so listen to the announcer and copy it down. We want to say that we are sponsored by Manaway Country Baptist Church. And if you live in Solon, Ohio, or you live in Chagrin Falls, or live in Bainbridge or Manaway, it is on Chamberlain Road, about a mile north of Route 82. And I like the pastor there. He's a Christian brother. He loves the Lord, outstanding pastor. And his name is Murray Bay. He has been at the church and been pastor there for quite a while. And it's a good church where they love people. You can have some wonderful Christian fellowship and make some great friends. And so we invite you to visit that church. Now, getting back to our program, and we're talking about the fact that Jesus is Lord. How is he Lord in our life? Well, he's Lord through the Bible, through the New Testament. And that's why this program is about that. And we promote the King James Bible as the Word of God. And the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And right from the time of the apostles up until the present time, there have been Bible-believing churches that passed on the true words of God. The modern versions come from Alexandria, and it seems like that almost everybody that copied them changed them to fit their own opinions. But Bible-believing Christians, they know the words of Jesus Christ at the end of the New Testament. And Jesus gives a solemn warning against changing the words. The modern corrupt counterfeit Bibles, they take out the names of Jesus 100 times. And we've been saying this for 4 years, and we give out a paper that shows you where these words have been taken out. You can check your Bible. But the true Bible has come down to us, and it's in over 99% of the manuscripts. And you have a tremendous agreement among these manuscripts. The modern ones are based on a couple of manuscripts, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, and a few other ones. And they're all corrupt. They all disagree with each other in thousands of places. The modern versions, they disagree with the authorized King James Bible that is given to us by Christ and come down to us from the apostles in thousands of places. And when we mention just the 100 places where Jesus' name is kicked out, that's only a beginning, because in the Old New Testament, it's been changed. And the changes particularly attack the Lord Jesus Christ. And heathens got in there. And today, so many of the Greek departments and evangelical schools, they follow these modern corrupt versions. You know, there's people coming out. I think I should name some, and I'm not trying to attack institutions or people on this program. But for instance, Metzger, if you read his writings, an out-and-out modernist. And yet I heard on television on a Christian program some people from Dallas Theological Seminary, and they stated that they're going by the writings of Mr. Metzger on textual criticism. And they've developed a whole rationalistic system to attack the true text. I've read their books. I mean, I've been reading every book pro and con for years on this subject. And I am telling you, they are lying. It's a fairy tale. And always the Bible teaches that the true word of God is something that we have. The Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. When you look at your King James Bible, you are looking at the words of God. Jesus never corrected the Bible, and he always accepted it as the final authority, the very words. Say, why are you talking about the words? Because the Bible always emphasizes the very words. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And so what's that have to do with the Lordship of Christ? Because the Bible are his words, is his words. And he is Lord. He tells us what to do by the Bible. The Bible is the final authority on the earth, in heaven and in earth. And God said always that he would preserve his words. Psalms 12, 6, and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver and tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Be easier for the sun to blow out, or the moon and the stars and the to collapse into nothingness. But it would be easier for that to happen than his words would pass away, because he was keeping his words. Now, people today, they tell you, well, you can be saved and then you can be lost. There's no such teaching in the Bible. I've read the New Testament 100 times, and I know what it teaches. And in the Bible, Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's simple. That's not hard to understand. Under no circumstances will I ever kick you out. Then somebody comes and says, well, what about Judas Iscariot? He was apostle of Christ, and yet he betrayed Christ. You know, it's very interesting about Judas Iscariot and the other apostles, because every one of the other apostles called Jesus Lord. And always, when they would talk to him, they would say Lord to Jesus. But Judas never called him Lord. Judas called him Master, which is another name for teacher. You know, today in religion, you have two types of churches, and they may profess to be Christian, but One of them teaches that Jesus is Lord and Savior through the Word of God. And the other church, although they profess to be Christians, they call him the great teacher. And so because he taught, they can also teach things. And he might even be wrong. They may not say it too loud. But they also teach things. But they never call him Lord. And certainly they don't believe he's Lord through the Bible, although Jesus taught such a thing over and over again. He talks about hearing his words and believing in him that sent me hath everlasting life. So hearing what his words are and believing on him, that's how he's the Lord. And so they don't believe his words, the Bible. They mock people that do. And many seminaries teach this. Preachers may not say it too loud, but a true Christian accepts Jesus as Lord like the apostles. They always called him Lord. Judas never called him Lord. And the Bible says this, they went out from us because they were not of us, for if they had been one of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. It's found in 1 John, written through the Holy Spirit by the apostle John, the man closest to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father is greater than I. No man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. People say, oh, that horrible doctrine. If I believe that way, I'd do anything I want. You see, that's the big thing. If a person is born again and saved by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God is in them, and they don't want to live a sinful life. That's the difference. Their whole life has changed. They're born again. They got God's Spirit in them, and they want to live for God. And furthermore, they have a fear of God also, because the Bible says, whom the Lord he loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. And if I did not listen to the Holy Spirit, I'd be afraid of the discipline of the Lord. And I'm not saying punishment, because God will discipline his children. But he was already punished for us 2,000 years ago. And the Bible says he's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And somebody that's living a sinful life and never turns around, I wouldn't give them a hope of salvation. They better go back and repent of that sin and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, if Jesus is your Lord, you don't steal anymore. And you know, if you borrow some money from somebody, you give it back. You borrow something from somebody, you don't give it back. You're a thief. That is stealing. You are honest in all things. And you're honest in your taxes. You're honest in your business. You don't follow the world in business. You don't hate people because Jesus connected that with murder. You don't practice fornication. And you know, fornication is any sex outside of marriage. And that includes homosexuality. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you practice homosexuality or fornication. People today come into churches, profess to be Christians, and they're living in fornication and adultery. Well, you better check with the Lord about that, because he is against those things. And Jesus says you love your neighbor as yourself. And love, it's not just a feeling, but it goes beyond that. You see that anybody that you're with, if somebody that you're with is out of a job, you go there and help them and pray for them. Somebody's sick, go and pray for them. And anytime you see a need and ask God to show you people that have needs, you are there to help them. That's what loving your neighbor as yourself means. You know, lordship also means that Jesus Christ is God. The Bible teaches this, and in many, many places, God the Father says, unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The teaching of the triune God is a teaching all through the Scripture. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew words were in plural form. The Bible says, let us make man. And the word Elohim, that's a plural form. I was reading in a Bible that was put out by a Jewish society, and they had the name of God, and there was a footnote, the plurality of majesty. Well, God is three eternal beings that live in the past, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And yet they're one God in total unity together. And the Father's called the Lord, Jesus is called the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is called the Lord. All three of them are called God. And so we receive God the Father and God the Holy Spirit when we receive the Lord. If you don't understand all this, you know, God knows your heart. If you want God into your life, say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sins and save me. And you have eternal life this moment, and God will see that you go to heaven when you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you, according to 1 Peter. Well, God bless you. You have a wonderful day, and let's rejoice in the Lord together. And the Lord has given us a marvelous salvation. He's given us His joy, His peace, His forgiveness, a home in heaven, eternal life, a keeping ability. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.